This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome in. You are listening to the weekend edition of the KE Report. I am Corey Fleck and your host for the first hour. This weekend's edition, at least the first hour, we are going to spend a lot of time talking about the U.S. equity markets and some of the nuances that are going on in front of everybody and also behind the scenes. I'm kicking off today's show with Trader Vic Sparandio. And Trader Vic, I have to say, throughout the last about week and a half, I've been getting a lot of emails asking to follow up with you because last time you were on the show, you almost perfectly outlined what this market has been doing heading into the midterm election. You mentioned that you would expect a bit of a sell-off coming into the midterm elections, and then you said at that time we need to assess whether the bounce back is going to happen. So far, the sell-off has happened. Let's get some updated comments from you, please.
All right. Let me then begin with what I believe is as important as the election. And the election is important because if the Democrats win, and you understand the Democrats are not Democrats. They have moved from the 60s type of blue dog, regular Democrats who cared about the working man to socialism 101. I mean, they are all socialists. The left has been dominated by the people who make the most noise, and they are wanting to overturn capitalism. I mean, that's who's running the party, and you can see it. But in any respect, I'm going to say that I believe that the Senate will win 3 to 7 seats, and it is critical because if the Democrats win, we're absolutely in and going to tank further and be in a bear market because they want to stop everything. So you'll see why that's critical when I get to the economics of this call. But for the election, my call is that the Republicans will keep the House, although I believe they'll lose seats, which is not material because they can lose, something like 15 to 20 seats, and they still will have a few extra Republicans, so they'll hold the power. And so that's what's critical about this call, that. And you'll see if they do that, because it's a fine line, that the market will rally probably up to the 200-day moving average of the S&P, and you could look that up on a screen. I think it's 2775, something like that. And it probably goes a little bit beyond that. But and we'll get to why I say that in a minute. Now, if they lose, you may see a slight bounce. I mean, when I say slight, weaker than the last 2 days that we've seen this week ending today, and then you will head to minus 20%. You'll be in a bear market. And the Senate should win seats.
All right, Jerry Vic, just a real quick question. How are you going about even evaluating this election?
Now, you can't look at the polls. The bellwether I look at, by the way, for the trend of where the country is going is the Florida governor race. Now, I say that because this fellow Andrew Gillum, who is sponsored by Bernie Sanders and is an avowed socialist as well as Bernie, he's up 4.5 points in the polls. He should be minus 15 to 20. And the main characters in Florida, you know, retirees, Cubans, and seniors. Now, this guy's policies, without getting into wasting time and details, he's opposed to all of those. So he basically is the worst form of politician. He's an African American, and every time you critique him, and the guy is under indictment because the FBI actually has caught him in corruption, taking gifts and money that he's not reporting. So he should lose big. He's up, as I say, 4.5 points, but that only shows that the polls are worthless. So, all right, there's the election. I believe it's going to win. And if you lose power, you go to the Nixon scenario. The market goes down because people go to the sidelines.
All right, so when it comes to the actual markets here, Trader Vic, what do you think are some of the major drivers even past this election? These elections usually only last, well, market impact-wise, a short period of time. What are the main factors you're considering?
What is critically important, and you won't see this or hear this, I don't think, somewhere else, is what Powell, Jerome Powell, chairman of the Fed, has done and said, and his, what is driving him. Critical point. What is driving Powell? Now, on the 26th of September, everybody knew who's a pro. It was an easy call. They were going to raise rates 25 basis points. So the market expected that. That was not an issue. The key was that during the Q&A, he eliminated the word accommodative. Now, he tried to play that down. So he took out that word that, you know, we're going to be accommodative, which means, well, we're going to be tight. I mean, if you take it out, if you're not accommodative, what are you? So he took that, but he tried to play it down, and he did a good job of feigning what he meant by that. So he said it wasn't necessary anymore, and you know, he talks in such a way with, he's very believable. So you then had, now here's what happened. The day before that, the 25th, the dollar rallied and then proceeded to rally for 7 days in a row right after that. Now, why? Because he really indicated that there would be another hike in December. Now, that's not the part that is, you know, kind of making me say what I'm going to say here. He came out on the 2nd. And he gave a speech, I forget where it was, but Reuters reported it. I'm going to quote some of the parts that he said. And now I started in Wall Street in 66, but I learned real quick that the Fed was a critical part of what makes stock go up and down. I read the minutes back to 1959. Now, in reading those minutes, I have never heard words uttered by a Fed chairman, as Jerome Powell said on the 2nd, which I'm going to quote some of it because I think it's critical. And he basically, on the Dow made an all-time high on the 3rd. Oil made a high on the 3rd. Most other things did not make a high. So if you're a trader and you understand non-confirmations, there was a minor high on the Dow, unconfirmed. Anywhere else, coupled with these crazy words that I'm going to read, you would have been a seller. You know, as looking back, it's easy, but when you're doing it, that should have stood out to you, because the key is that the dot plot that the Fed has is for three hikes, but when he was finished on the 26th. He sort of led you to believe that three hikes still were there, except now there's going to be a fourth, which is in December. But Goldman came out thereafter and said there's going to be five. And I'm going to quote a little bit of Goldman. But the key is, this man is talking like we are in Wonderland.
All right, we're going to wrap it up here, Trader Vic, but it really does sound like it's much more than just the midterm elections. We, and I always say this, need to pay much more attention to what the Fed is doing and some interesting nuances on some of their projections in terms of GDP. Trader Vic, it's always great having you on the show. I hope everybody enjoyed that update from Trader Vic. Everybody stick around. I am going to be right back.
Thanks, Corey.
Thank you.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
This is Fred.
Hi, I'm Fred.
Fred's a repeater.
I tend to repeat.
Fred has a business.
I do have a business.
And a problem. Fred repeats the same tired advertising over and over, and now it doesn't work.
Over and over.
But Fred is about to see a vision.
I'm seeing a vision.
Advertising on the Genesis Communications Network is the smart way for Fred to reach his potential customers with the most affordable national advertising rates, period. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just email advertise at GCNlive.com.
Let's talk tough. Let's talk comfort. Let's talk about down home value. Made in the USA blue jeans, like you wore as a kid. Remember?
There's a place down in Tennessee where they make blue diamond gusset jeans. They sew pride in every stitch. Guarantee you love the way they fit. Put a diamond gusset in the crotch where you need it most. Blue diamond gusset's got it. Others don't.
For good old-fashioned comfort, get diamond gusset jeans. Every stitch guaranteed. And our Defender motorcycle jean comes Kevlar reinforced. See them at GUSSET.com. That's gusset.com. Or call 888-848-7738. That's 888-848-7738. Diamond gusset jeans got it. Others don't.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
I'm David Hall, founder of Diamond Gusset, where we're proud of our 100% grown and sewn American-made jeans. Whether you're out for dinner, working on the farm, or on the road, Diamond Gusset Jeans offers a full spectrum of styles and sizes for any occasion. To find yours, visit gusset.com. That's G-U-S-S-E-T.com. Our loyal customers enable us to continue sponsoring Liberty media outlets like the one you're listening to. In Liberty, David Hall, Diamond Gusset Jean Company.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. Continuing to listen to the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. I am chatting with Chris Martinson, another person who will be joining us down at the New Orleans Investment Conference this weekend. And Chris, what I want to talk about is the U.S. equity markets. I know we're talking about them a lot this weekend show, but they have been one of the major stories and this breakdown heading into the election, heading into the next Fed meeting. And as much as it has been kind of a straight line down when you look at a weekly chart, the fact of the matter is, day after day, these markets seem very confused. And we can easily blame it on the fact that time and time again, whenever there's a down day, the markets try to recover. And maybe that's investors always looking to try to pick the bottom and this buy the dip mentality. But the fact of the matter is, these markets are still in a downtrend and they continue to seem very confused. And also look at just how high the VIX is holding right now. I think that also shows the confusion and uneasiness of some investors in the markets. What do you have to say about how these markets seem confused and how that can relate to a potential top being formed?
Well, great question. There's a couple of things I'm looking at here, Corey. First, these are confused markets. The things I follow are a very confusing mix of risk off and risk on. Risk on meaning, hey, we like equities. We're going to hold on to things like JNK, which is a junk stock ETF, junk bond ETF, which really should be saying risk off. It's hanging tough. It's like pretty much parked at 35 all through this stock down cycle. So I look at that as like, how can stocks be going down and junk bonds hanging tough? That's not a signal you would expect to see, if you're really looking at a real risk off environment. And also, I'm not seeing risk off over in the treasury bonds. You know, they rallied some, but they're still not even remotely close to where they were back in September in terms of a price level. So we don't see the usual behavior of risk off, risk on. So it's confused. But we do see some risk off things happening. And so you got to figure all that out. Meanwhile, we also know that behind the scenes, so there are official interventions that happen. We know, like without engaging in any speculation, that the Swiss National Bank steps in and buys stuff like love U.S. equities, big FANG stocks and large caps, things like that. We know the Japanese bank is over there busy buying, particularly during down moments. But more specifically, if you've been watching the markets this past week, the gyrations, Corey, have been tick for tick indecipherable across very disparate markets, right? So large cap U.S., small cap technology shares, trading tick for tick on the bounces is alongside all the Japanese equities, the German stocks, the Euro stocks, 50s, the CAC, all these other indexes all trading in lockstep. So this is something that tells you this is a very different regime that's out there that you or I might recognize from, 10, 20 years ago. All the global markets are trading in lockstep. And it reminds me of a famous Ben Franklin quote, which is, either we all hang together or surely we shall all hang separately. Meaning, I think the official interventions are geared towards keeping the global markets all rising. They're in lockstep. When the rescues happen, they apply to all the markets, even though I can't make a compelling case for why Japanese equities in the off-market hours should rise exactly at the same moment as U.S. small caps or the NASDAQ. It just doesn't quite comport. It does fit, though, with a theory that says that, there are still lots of money sloshing around. It sloshes across all the markets, and we can debate the source of those funds. But I'm convinced as ever that, we do have official heavy hands making sure these markets behave.
So as much as we listen to the central banks that we should be seeing, you would think some sort of a liquidity squeeze happening, at least less money being available to be injected into these markets. It sounds like you're not necessarily seeing that right now.
No, not yet. Although if we widen out a bit and we look at emerging markets, we have bear markets and equities across a wide variety of emerging market stock indexes that exist out there. We've got still signs of elevated liquidity pressure. And this is really important. The most important chart I saw come out this past week, forget everything else, was that the European Central Bank actually had a week where their balance sheet shrank. Hasn't happened in years, right? And the European Central Bank was doing most of the heavy lifting in that 2016-17 period when more money was printed than ever in all of world history of central banking, and the European Central Bank responsible for most of that. So seeing them actually start to shrink their balance sheet last week, this data comes out, it's a week old. So I'll be interested to see what happens next week. I will not be surprised to see that it expanded suddenly, with throwing some money in. Because let's be clear, these central bankers, Corey, they're terrified of these markets going down. They need them to go up. I don't know what, you know, strategy they're pursuing or what their end game or exit strategy is. My concern, my fear even, is they don't have one. They don't know what to do. And right now they're just locked in a cycle of needing to print more. But for now, let's just keep an eye on what they are doing, and seeing that central bank balance sheet go in reverse for the ECB was a big moment for me.
Now, what about story stocks? It's something that you brought up to me off mic. You mentioned Tesla, you mentioned Twitter, that these stocks have been able to rebound and even solidify when some of the data that we've been seeing, some of the financials would have to make you think either something weird is going on there or, quite frankly, they should be trending down.
Well, absolutely. So, you know, the story stocks need to break down for me to think we're in a breakdown. I've written for, the general public and also my subscribers to say that I don't think this is it yet. You know, the big one, right? The huge correction crash is coming at this point in time. A correction, sure, we're already there. And the reason is, Corey, I'm not seeing the story stocks really break down. Those are the ones that are like unicorns, you know, and you have to have a lot of belief and faith and fantasies to make them work. Twitter being a prime example, I don't know how they make their money. You know, they got in a ridiculous price earnings even after what they posted was pretty good earnings. But the price earnings still over 100. And this is for a company that is losing millions of active users on a quarter-over-quarter basis. So it's not growing. So how you have a PE of 100, you know, story stock that's, you know, has to grow at exceptional rates in order for it to make sense. And by the way, let's be clear, the Twitter platform itself, they have a lot of competition from other platforms now, and young people aren't using it. So it's very hard to make a story out of this that says, hey, this is worth a PE over 100. Tesla, same thing. Here's a company that was just hemorrhaging cash, free cash flow, negative, negative, negative. All of a sudden, miracle turnaround, and they jumped from ridiculously bad gross manufacturing margins to amazing ones in a single quarter. They just suddenly turned in spectacular numbers, and this was after almost a complete recycling of the C-level of their a CFO suite. So, you know, rats don't usually leave a floating ship. So I'm very suspicious of Tesla's numbers. I think there's healthy degree of skepticism should be applied, but investors didn't do that. Sure, short squeeze happened, but beyond that, people are buying the heck out of this thing.
Yeah, very true. Hey, Chris, good chatting with you. Good having you on our show on a regular basis, and also very much looking forward to catching up with you at that New Orleans Investment Conference. Everybody stick around. I am going to be right back.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Pain in my neck, back, and shoulders has really gotten worse.
Relief for body pain is here with Sunny Bay Heating Pads.
Well, the last thing I want is to take another pill, so what's so good about Sunny Bay Heating Pads?
Sunny Bay Heating Pads, made by Biomed DB Design right here in the USA, come in all sizes. Our extra-large microwavable heating pad for back pain is designed to be large enough to cover your entire back. It's also perfect to wrap around your legs, knees, or shoulder and neck.
But I need to know they're good quality.
Of course, Sunny Bay heating pads and pillows are often an Amazon choice, and it's easy and most affordable when you purchase your Sunny Bay heating pads right from our website, sunshinepillows.com, or call us 253-678-1361.
Hey, a Sunny Bay heating pad
would make a great gift, right?
Yes, and they start at just $19.99, and free shipping is available. So call 253-678-1361 or shop for your Sunny Bay heating pad at sunshinepillows.com.
If you owe money to the IRS, you need to hear this. The IRS is cracking down on those who owe back taxes. It starts with a devastating letter, and if you don't act immediately, you could find yourself having your wages garnished or have a lien placed on your property. But there's a solution. Tax 10,000 can help. Avoid enforced compliance, where these holds on your income and seizure of your home could become a nightmare that just won't end. Call 800-239-9957 now and speak to one of our experts. 800-239-9957 is the number to link you directly to a tax resolution specialist who will negotiate with the IRS on your behalf. Working through the IRS Fresh Start program, all the forms will be handled for you. All you have to do is make the toll-free call. 800-239-9957. Find out if you qualify and possibly save yourself thousands of dollars, not to mention a lot of headaches. It could be the best call you've made today. That number again, 800-239-9957. The service does not provide tax settlement or legal services. We will refer you to a company that does provide such services. Often the IRS will not agree to any reduction in the amount owed. Not all taxpayers who owe more than $10,000 will qualify for a tax reduction program.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-318-1251. That's 800-318-1251. 800-318-1251.
This is Elizabeth McCabe, a.k.a. Lucky One of Truth Frequency News. I wanted to tell you all about Extendivite from HeartDrop.com. Y'all know I check everything before I air it. When I heard about Extendivite on TFR, I went to HeartDrop.com and started my research. It's got cayenne. That's good for blood and circulation. It stimulates the blood flow. It's got garlic, which fights bacteria like antibiotics, and it lowers the cholesterol and blood pressure. It also has milk thistle, which is the best detox for liver. I couldn't wait to try it out, and I'm glad I did 4 months ago. And here's obvious results. My hands and feet don't get cold anymore. The varicose veins have faded too. My wrists don't hurt after typing all day. Now I tell you all this because it's true and I want you to really live life. Try Extendivite. Go to heartdrop.com and order it.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. In this segment, we are going to step a little bit away from the U.S. equity markets, but we will revisit that next segment with Peter Buchvar. I am chatting with a new guest on the show, Matthew Zablosky, a founder and portfolio manager over at Delbrook Capital. Delbrook Capital is based out of Vancouver, and it's a very interesting organization, one that I follow, but I know some of our listeners might not know a whole lot about Delbrook Capital. They are a hedge fund that is focused on the resource sector in a broad sense. Matthew, first and foremost, can you take us through kind of the general strategy of Delbrook, please?
Sure, no problem. Thank you for the time today. Delbrook Capital is a firm focused entirely on the metals and mining space. Globally, we do not have any biases as to jurisdictions, but the firm invests all this capital, both long and short, in the equity markets and in the credit markets of mining issuers, precious metals, base metals, energy metals, specialty metals, etc.
Okay, now the metal that we are going to be talking about is uranium. I've been trying to up some of our coverage on uranium because of the comments I've been getting from our audience. Delbrook Capital recently published a report on uranium where it breaks down some of the major drivers and some of the companies that you guys are looking more bullishly at. First and foremost, though, because it is next week, you guys have an expectation of something that might happen that can help the uranium sector, especially in the U.S., after the midterm elections. Can you break down what you're expecting after these midterms, please?
Sure, absolutely. Through a great deal of research that our team has done internally, we've identified the opportunity to profit within the U.S. uranium sector through the implementation of a Section 232 report, which we believe the Trump administration is about to sign. A Section 232 report is a report requested by the government and approved and evaluated by the Department of Commerce, which in essence creates certain commodities as deemed to be of strategic interest to U.S. national security. Our research has indicated the Commerce Department is about to recommend to the Trump administration that a Section 232 report be implemented with regards to domestic uranium production in the United States. What this means simply is that the United States is moving towards putting a quota on the amount of uranium that it is allowed to import for utilities into the United States. The belief that we have is that that will dramatically increase the price for domestic produced uranium in the United States and leave some foreign companies that would typically use the U.S. as an import base high and dry, having to sell some of the uranium on the international market. The result of this, in our opinion, will be a dramatic increase in domestic uranium prices in the United States and a drop in global uranium prices. So where our team is really focused is identifying opportunities on the long side with regards to producers who are producing in the United States, and there's very few of those companies.
You're right. There are very few of those companies. And when it comes to producers, are you looking at companies that are currently in production or companies that can quickly bring on production?
Yeah, there's very few in the United States that are currently in production. The nature of the uranium market has been such that these assets have been curtailed years ago. The Fukushima nuclear issue that came up years ago really, you know, was sort of a nail in the coffin for uranium prices for about a decade. So a lot of the assets in the United States were curtailed, put on care and maintenance, and currently not producing. But what we're focused on are folks who can get production online in a very short amount of time and do so in a capital-efficient manner. And there's very few companies that have the assets both to mill uranium or the pounds in the ground, the resource, if you will, that is required to bring anything of substance online.
Now, when you talk about companies that are actually bringing on production, how closely or how important do you think it is right now to check out their capital structure, make sure that they have some money in the bank or at least the ability to get some money to bring this production online?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, with any investment you need to make, you know, the financial analysis is very important. What we've done is identified companies who are financially sound, have assets of quality, and are able to finance any type of capital that they need through non-dilutive metrics. For example, it's a good deal of companies in the United States who have sold uranium forward. In doing so, they are basically on long-term contracts at much higher prices. This provides them with a mechanism to basically self-finance through buying spot uranium and selling on these long-term contracts. So there's a few guys who've been able to raise, you know, $10, $20, $30 million through forward sales like this, and that's a mechanism for them to fund bringing production back online.
Now, can you share with us maybe one or two of the companies that you are looking at more closely and still understanding that it's actually a very small pool to be choosing from for U.S. production?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, of our favorites with regards to U.S. producers or near producers would be companies like Energy Fuels. Energy Fuels trades on the New York Stock Exchange under the ticker UUUU. The highest quality uranium company, independent uranium company in the United States. The company does have a mill and a few very good deposits, able to bring production on in very short order. And just to be completely clear, we can see these types of companies, you know, ramp back into production, you know, in well under 12 months, if need be, once the uranium price starts to move. To put this in context, just on the pricing very quickly, current uranium prices are, you know, globally about $26, $28 a pound. We can model through demand supply, understanding what U.S. utilities need. We can model U.S. uranium prices going to $50 to $60 a pound. So it's going to be a material increase. So part of our analysis is how quickly can certain producers bring pounds back into the market? And then, more importantly, how efficient are they on the capital basis of doing that, and what are their cash costs going to look like? Looking at something like energy fuels, pretty amazing that these guys will be able to produce with all-in costs, you know, south of $30 a pound. So very impressive. But the real neat thing about energy fuels is they also have some secret sauce that nobody's talking about, and that is a large amount of revenue that can be derived through the sale of their vanadium assets as well. Vanadium is a metal that I'm not sure many of your listeners have heard about, but I tell you that the price of vanadium has gone from low to mid-single digits a couple years ago up to over $35 a pound right now. And Energy Fuels is a holder of a large vanadium asset in the U.S. So there's sort of two things we like about it. One is the leverage to the U.S. domestic price of uranium, which we see is going up. And the secret sauce is their vanadium asset, which, in our opinion, should generate some very significant cash flow. So we value Energy Fuels on a multiple, 7.5 times forward EBITDA. That would put the stock, in our opinion, trading at over $10 a share versus the current price at the moment for Energy Fuels, which is just about $3 a share. So in our opinion, there's significant capital appreciation in shares of Energy Fuels.
Yeah, huge upside there, and we have actually talked Energy Fuels a couple of times, but again, they just need that uranium price that they're going to get for it to be a fair bit higher. One thing you mentioned there, though, vanadium. I had somebody on the show just last week chatting about vanadium and the importance of some of the vanadium stocks. How important is it for you to see a vanadium component as well within some of these uranium companies? Is it crucial, or is it just that extra kicker you discussed?
No, it's the extra kicker. I mean, the thesis here very much is on uranium, but only domestic uranium. I'll be honest, as a hedge fund, we take directional bets both long and short. We're short global uranium, but long U.S. uranium. So let's make that clear. But the vanadium component for Energy Fuels, in our opinion, is something that the market has just missed. You know, the company could quite easily produce 2.5 million pounds of vanadium here, and at $30 a pound, cash cost, let's say, you know, $9 to $10, that's a significant amount of margin that nobody is putting in their target price. That takes, you know, our target price without vanadium, you know, $6 or $7, which is still a double plus from where the stock is today. That takes up a whole new leg to make it something that we think could trade over $10 a share.
All right. Hey, Matt, great chatting with you. Thanks for taking some time out of your day and telling us a little bit about Delbrook and also focusing on the uranium sector for us. Matt, again, thank you very much for your time. And everybody, stick around. I am going to be right back with Peter Buchbach.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Times are changing. The circus of politics, healthcare's low standards and high prices, and let's not forget food quality. What to do? Arm yourself with Life Change Tea at GetTheTea.com. In a world of chemical imbalance and poor air and water quality, it's time you make a move. Log on to GetTheTea.com and stock up on organic non-GMO supplements. Don't forget the tea. Cleansing your body never felt so good. And we have a brand new tea called Takedown Tea, which helps support healthy glucose. All natural body support so you can be at your best naturally. All you have to do is log on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. We're not a fad that comes and goes. We are the real deal. Join us and armor up. GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Changing America's health, one tea bag at a time.
The United States of Empire is a book that claims the United States is the empire of the world. George Washington had warned us against foreign wars. The United States of Empire shows that World Wars I and II left England broken. Its former colony, the U.S., had to save the empire. Was there ever a vote? Who do we fight for? The Deep State began with World War I. The United States of Empire by James Dunn. Available at Amazon Books.
Marijuana has unleashed a green gold rush across our nation. It's creating $10.8 billion in new wealth a year. And every day, it's transforming more and more Americans into millionaires. In an historic event, former Speaker of the House John Boehner reveals how you could become one of them. Join him online for the American Cannabis Summit. Attendance is 100% free, but space is limited. To secure your spot, text JOIN to 44055. This event is the first of its kind ever. John Boehner and an esteemed panel will reveal which cannabis stocks are primed to deliver life-changing windfalls in the weeks and months ahead. Plus, they will show you how to become a cannabis angel investor, backing the hottest startups before they potentially become worth billions of dollars. To join American Cannabis Summit, text JOIN to 44055. Attendance is free. Text JOIN to 44055.
It's been said, any society is only three missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
Welcome back and wrapping up the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. I am chatting with Peter Bukvar, Chief Investment Advisor at Bleakley Advisory Group. Peter, what I have to say is that you are, or were, I guess, one of the keynote speakers at the New Orleans Investment Conference. And I want to follow up on the presentation that you gave at the show. Now, we are recording this earlier in the week, but we've already been chatting about what your presentation is about and the main theme, so-called buckle up. Get ready for what we actually might be in for equity markets, not just in the U.S., but around the world. Take us through some of the main points first off, please.
Well, if you look at the two main drivers of this bull market, the first one being obviously extreme monetary policy. We all know that. The second was the rise in profit margins to record highs that drove pretty impressive rise in earnings throughout the cycle. It was obviously with a little earnings recession after oil prices collapsed in 2014, but generally speaking, a pretty strong rise in corporate profit margins and earnings, and then, of course, was accelerated by the cut in the corporate tax rate. So the problem now with the markets, we have both of those now reversing. We know the Fed is continuing on their rate hike path, assuming nothing else changes, and a balance sheet roll-off that is now at its max level of $50 billion a month, or annualized that to $600 billion. At the same time, we're 2 months away from the ECB ending QE. Bank of Japan has cut QE basically in half. So in this fourth quarter, beginning October 1st, was the first time in years that the net liquidity injection from the Fed, ECB, and the Bank of Japan totaled and netted out to zero. It was running at an annualized increase of $100 billion a month in the fourth quarter of 2017. So that's the verb. And now we're seeing in the release of their earnings, which in total are still pretty good on the EPS line with the typical beat rate of 70-75%, but it's the revenue line that is missing expectations to the greatest extent since last year. And we are seeing pockets of profit margin pressures, whether it's related to tariffs or other material cost inputs that are rising more than expected, transportation costs that are crimping earnings, and obviously that rising labor costs, which is the biggest input of a company's cost structure, are rising as well. So that's why I think that it's time to buckle up, and that this time in this cycle could be different in the sense that we're taking away the two biggest crutches to this market and the economy.
So, Peter, how quickly do you think that some of these central banks could switch course? It's something you and I have talked about a lot, is that, yes, the central banks around the world, led by the Fed, have gotten more hawkish, but if we do really start to see a further breakdown in economies and in markets globally, and we've already seen a breakdown in China and in Europe, a lot of different markets, other outside of the U.S., although the U.S. has shown some weakness, they have been weak. But the central banks seem to be digging their heels in and letting this ride a bit lower. How much more do you think that they could weather before they need to step in and try to help the markets again?
Well, they're in a really tough spot because, and remember, when the Fed conducts policy, they're always looking in the rearview mirror. But they still see the inflation numbers at the 2% level, and the Fed funds rate is at 2%. So here we are in the 10th year of this expansion, and real rates are at zero. And they all speak to their business contacts who are talking about the price pressures driven by tariffs and the inability or difficulty in sourcing labor and the need to increase wages in order to get labor. So they're hearing from all their contacts about all these different price pressures. So while the economic data has begun to soften, particularly overseas and housing and autos in the U.S., the Fed sees all these inflation pressures and saying to themselves, oh, boy, we need to get to a real rate above zero as quickly as we can. Now, I don't think they're necessarily saying, okay, we also need to refill our toolbox with the potential of easing down the road when things downturn. But if they don't refill, then we're just going to be Japan because we're not going to have the ability to really deal with any headwinds that come our way in terms of monetary policy. So they're in a tough spot. And even if they got to 3% Fed funds rate, 100 basis point real yield or 1% real yield is still extraordinarily low. But we know that there's obviously major economic repercussions. I mean, here we've had relatively still very low interest rates, and what's, I guess you consider a sharp rise in terms of its rapidity, but if you look at it over a two-year time frame, the rise in U.S. interest rates has been relatively slow, and you've already had a notable slowdown in two very interest rate-sensitive areas, as I said, housing and autos. So that's the point, that the U.S. economy is very dependent, very addicted, and very sensitive to changes in interest rates.
Yeah, it really does. And I would just circle back to your keynote last year at New Orleans when you talked about we are going to be in a world of rising rates. And again, you pointed to a lot of what the Fed was doing and what some of the other central banks were talking about. And there's been no doubt that we have seen rates generally tick higher around the world. The question everyone is asking themselves, though, when it comes to the U.S. equity markets is this current correction just that, a short-term correction, or is this part of a bigger issue, more or less echoing the great financial crisis where we could see a 50% pullback, something dramatic for the markets and much more devastating than if we just get some more short-term blips and maybe a lower trading range being formed? What do you think the odds are that this does turn into something much more noteworthy?
I really have to say it's greater than 50%, and again, for the main reasons that I mentioned earlier. And I'm amazed at how many people think that the Fed will save us again, and that they'll back off from these rate hikes and stop shrinking their balance sheet, and everything will be fine. The Fed's going to save us. And I just need to remind people that in 2000 to 2002, Greenspan cutting rates did not stop the Nasdaq from falling 80%. Cutting rates to zero didn't stop the stock market from falling 50% in 08, 09. So there's precedent where fighting the Fed was the right idea. And because this removal of foundation, not just here but everywhere, is so out of the ordinary because of the base at which they're tightening from, we're going to really have to, in a way, play it by ear, because I have no doubt if the Fed backs off, we're going to have a rip-your-face-off rally where everyone is going to think everything is fine. But if the bond market is sensing that the Fed made a mistake and that the inflation pressures are deeper, well, then the long-term interest rates are going to go higher, and the bond market is going to tighten for the Fed. So Trump can beat up Powell as much as he wants. Maybe Powell will listen. But if the bond market thinks that Powell is making a mistake by not responding to the data, the inflationary data, then the bond market's going to tighten for him. So either way, I still expect us to be in a rising interest rate environment. I think when the ECB in particular is done with QE, you're going to see not just a rise in Italian bond yields, but a rise in all bond yields, which will also be an upward influence to what's going on in the U.S. And I do think the Bank of Japan is going to still let the yield curve further steepen in Japan, which means possibly further selling in longer-term JGB yields, which will also have an impact on U.S. interest rates. So I'm getting more concerned that this is going to be, to answer your original question, deeper than the corrections we've seen over the past couple of years.
Okay. Now, one final comment, too, is how significant do you think this rising U.S. dollar has been on these other economies? Emerging markets have continued to be very weak, and Europe, you can argue, has some of their own problems. But quite frankly, this higher dollar doesn't really benefit anybody around the world, does it?
Yeah, no, it's definitely created the pressure point. But to me, the pressure point was really the origination of it was the rise in interest rates and the tightening of liquidity. Then it manifested itself into a stronger dollar. But what that also does is you start to expose vulnerabilities in the financial system. Look at Italy. Italy having political issues, Italy having financial debt problems, well, that's not new news. Their debt-to-GDP ratio is 130%. But now that the ECB is ending QE, people are asking themselves, oh, boy, who's going to buy these bonds? This all is intertwined with this changing liquidity environment that is, again, clips those countries that are most vulnerable, but no one is immune to a tightening of monetary policy, particularly how much we rode the easing of monetary policy over the past 10 years.
All right, Peter, always great chatting with you. I look forward to spending some time with you at the New Orleans Investment Conference. I hope everybody has a great rest of their weekend. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Please keep in touch, Fleck at KEReport.com. Peter, again, thank you for taking time this weekend.
Thank you, Corey.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit KEReport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Let's talk tough. Let's talk comfort. Let's talk about Down Home Value, made in the USA blue jeans, like you wore as a kid. Remember?
There's a place down in Tennessee where they make blue diamond gusset jeans. They show pride in every stitch. Guarantee you love the way they fit. Put a diamond gusset in the crotch where you need it most. Blue diamond gusset's got it. Others don't.
For good old-fashioned comfort, get diamond gusset jeans. Every stitch guaranteed. And our Defender motorcycle jean comes Kevlar reinforced. See them at GUSSET.com. That's gusset.com. Or call 888-848-7738. That's 888-848-7738. Diamond gusset jeans got it. Others don't.
This is George Dory from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.